There are two ways to look at this situation.
Yeah.
The normal way and the Tommy way. Because this man across from me is upset with total strangers for continuing to, how did you put it yesterday?
Dime on me.
Dime on you. Yes. Blow you in.
And it happened the same way twice. Mm-hmm. How?
But these total strangers wouldn't have anything to dime on you about if you just would have kept your stupid mouth shut.
See, that's what they should do.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic.
Do your job.
Rock 96.5 WCMF. So we get one of Tommy's early morning performances yesterday, Kimmy. Mm-hmm. He comes in. And you got two stories you tell.
Yes. Well, a while back I was at the bank doing a little banking.
What a great old man start to a story.
A while back I was at the bank.
And my wife was also had to come later to sign some papers that I was signing.
So you two bank trips in one day.
Yeah. So I go in early. I do my thing. And as I'm leaving, talking to the kid at the counter, conducting my business. And he goes, did you have a good weekend? And I said, my age, man, you know, I don't have any fun on the weekends. You know, I'm an old guy. You know, that's why I leave it.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I go. My wife goes, does her business later. She goes, oh, the kid at the counter said, hey, your husband was in here early, and he says he doesn't have any fun on the weekend. Why would that kid say that? That was between me and you as a little jokey joke. Yes. Why would you dime on me, man?
Okay, all right, all right.
So I got to explain to my wife, you don't think we don't have any fun?
Oh, it's awesome.
How is that? You're in business. And by the way, banks ain't going so good.
Oh, is that so?
I go in, I'm the only one. I'm like Elvis.
So you think you would have learned your lesson after that?
Yeah, you would think so, right? Like, hey, maybe you don't do that again. Yeah.
All right, so now we're shopping around for some furniture. This is...
What are you getting?
Couch.
Ooh, I got couch money. Sorry.
It's an old couch we got to get rid of. By the way, if you didn't even want it, it's yours.
What?
The old couch.
No, I'm not taking your couch because you're going to judge me for taking your couch.
You took my last stuff.
Yeah, but I was busted then. Now I'm slightly less busted.
So I'll go in there. My wife's conducting. It's all on my wife. Right? She's picking out the fabric bag and I'm picking the boom. So I'm just walking around. It's Saturday afternoon, right? Okay. There's nobody in this place. So walk by the counter. The woman's there. She's like writing it up. We're going to buy this couch. And, you know, my wife's telling her about her life and everything while they're shopping. And she'd just recently been in Chicago. And the woman looks at me, and my wife's off a little bit. She goes, did you go to Chicago? And I said, no, it was for immediate family only. As a joke, right?
Funny guy. Keeping it light.
So, and I just kind of turn heel, and I'm walking around. We leave. Mm-hmm. So Sunday, my wife has to go finalize the deal. She goes alone. Walks into the joint. Same saleswoman, obviously. And the saleswoman goes, I think I upset your husband. She goes, because I asked him about if he went to the Chicago trip with you, and he said no. It was only for immediate family. And I just assumed it didn't make any sense. I thought he would be immediate family. And like, and my wife goes, no, you know, he's just making a joke. He does that.
Why would she bring
that up? Man, you're trying to sell couches. You're not break up my marriage.
Not knowing you, though, just looking at the way that
you carry yourself
and you dress, you don't look like you have a sense of humor. Like, I would have thought that you were serious with what you said, too. I wouldn't think this guy tells a lot of jokes.
Oh, that's the greatest. That's the greatest thing he's ever said.
I'm done.
I mean, you're wearing a turtleneck, man.
I'm done with the bank. Send the couch back.
Oh, my God.
Done with furniture.
All right, I will say this.
What?
With those two stories, it is very strange it happened to you twice.
And with salespeople.
But here's the thing. It does show you're memorable enough, or these people cared about you enough, those interactions, that they brought that up multiple times. And, I mean, look, I don't mean this is an insult. After Kimmy just buried you dead. It shows how good these folks are at their jobs that they remember the little details like that.
No, it shows how bad they are at a job. No salesperson should bring up your personal life when you're trying to close a sale.
They're making a connection, and that one woman felt bad. She apologized to your wife.
It's bad. It's bad salesmanship.
Okay.
Any salesman will tell you don't do this.
Okay.
What, apologize for thinking she offended you?
You don't know what happened. She don't know me.
Yeah, I think that
brief interaction.
That's why she didn't know what happened. So she's like, "Oh man, maybe I really pissed that guy off."
You know what you sound like?
What?
You don't sound like a closer. You ain't a closer.
Really? Because you bought the couch and you're still at the bank. So who's closing? Who's stupid?
Okay, other than those two instances,
the two that
they didn't close.
All right. So here's the thing.
What?
I get your bitch. But I don't know if your bitch is with the right people. Because you're right. Sure, these people could have read the room. They could have understood you.
Shut up.
That you were joking, right? Okay, they could have done that.
Get the money in the till.
Hear me out here. You could stop saying stupid stuff.
What am I supposed to say?
Typical Tommy, always on stage, running your mouth, trying to get a laugh. Well, people are trying to do their job. Do your job.
It's like getting mad at your audience for not understanding your joke.
Oh, you mean every day?
But you know,
that's on you.
She's furiously trying to respond to emails on a phone that's not connected to Wi-Fi. It just gets sent out to nowhere.
But you know when you're stuck at some place where it's just not fun?
Okay.
Like furniture store, bank, suck. And you just want to get out of there. And I don't really want to talk to these people.
So that's probably why she thought she offended you.
No, but look, Kimmy, all right, here's the thing. I'm going to have to
It's Saturday night, I'm at a furniture store.
I'm going to have to translate Tommy to you, all right? Because I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I do the same thing. But here's the problem. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Both of those jokes you made. One, I don't have fun on the weekends to the bank kid. And two, immediate family only in Chicago to the woman selling you the couch. Very funny. As funny as they are, they're pretty dark jokes.
Oh, they're not that dark.
I'm older, my life sucks, and I'm an outsider in my family. That's what you said to these two people that you don't know. You don't know them. You dropped that on people you've never met before in a business transaction.
And then walked away.
Well, what are you supposed to do? No. Save for the beans and greens?
But when you look at it through that lens, you kind of look like a psycho.
Not that much of a psycho.
But here's the thing. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Mm. And here's why. 252-WCMF, Tommy has been bitten in the ass twice, running his mouth. You went to the bank, you were talking with a kid, you were about to leave, he asked you what you were doing this weekend, and
I said, yeah, at my age, I don't have any fun anymore, nothing.
His wife goes back to the bank later, he says exactly what Tommy said.
Yeah. Hey, I heard your husband doesn't have any fun on the weekends.
Upset your wife?
Yes.
Buying a couch this weekend, Tommy walks in, they're doing up the couch payment. Tommy's wife isn't around. Brought up the trip to Chicago she took. She asked you if you went on the Chicago trip, and you said...
No, it was for immediate family only.
Well, she then ends up apologizing to your wife days later, thinking she offended you. Here's where we're at. The easiest joke to make to strangers are self-deprecating jokes.
Which was what I did.
Yes. It is hard having a conversation with somebody you don't know.
Right.
Especially when you're trying to make small talk.
And I don't even want to make small talk with you, lady.
I'm with you. But here's the thing. Mm. When they ask, what are you doing this weekend? Or when they ask, did you also go to Chicago? They don't really care.
I understand it.
Okay. And if you actually give them real information, this will just keep going, which neither of you want.
Which I didn't do.
So.
I didn't give them real information.
But all you had to do was just be like, yes and fine. That's all you had to say.
All right. Here's what I'm going to say from now on.
Okay.
All right. I'm coming up.
Yeah.
Bank.
Okay, I'll be bank guy. Hello, welcome to International Bank.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you doing anything fun this weekend?
No, I did drugs. I had to go to the hospital. And I think I used somebody else's needle.
What is wrong with you?
I know, crazy, right?
What is wrong with you?
You tell my wife that? Blab him out at the bank.
Where these situations get uncomfortable happens in three spots. What? You ready?
What?
When? One, what happened with you where these folks think you're offended or they feel bad for you? Two, they take what you said seriously and they try and make you feel better. Has that ever happened to you where you'll make a self-deprecating joke and they're like, no.
I always hate when people do that.
Same, man. Same. Like you make a joke about the way you look or your weight or your financial situation and this person from a place of kindness tries to make you feel better. And you can't be mad because they're just being nice. But at the same time, now I'm in a worse spot. Than I was before.
Well, they're making you feel better because they don't know what else to do because I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh at that if I don't really know you. You know what I mean? So I could see why your instant reaction would be, oh, I have to make this person, I have to say the opposite of what they just said.
Sure.
You know, you're kind of putting them in a weird position.
But there's a third one, and it might be the worst.
The third rail? What?
They go darker than you.
Oh, yeah. You better. And that happens all the time in this room.
You make a joke, and then they go with a legitimate problem. They think you can relate to.
Funny you bring this up.
Yes, we're not joking. Like, now I'm hearing about child custody cases or bad relationships or bankruptcy or jail time. And again,
some terrible disease.
You can't be upset because you brought it up first, stupid.
Yep.
Yeah, I wish I knew a second language.
You don't know first language.
Why? Why do you wish you knew a second?
No, because then I could just, like, I don't,
even though you're just speaking.
You were already speaking English?
I no understand.
Why are you doing your hands like that?
I no understand.
Is that what people from Latin America do when they talk with their hands?
I no understand.
They're juggling?
In my village.
You were just speaking
English.
We
only had one couch.
Oh, my God.
And the bank was always closed. We had no money for the couch.
252-WCMF. 252-9263. Kimmy's theory as to why this keeps happening to you is the way you dress is you don't look like you have a sense of humor.
Dope.
So cruel.
No joy on that face.
Let's talk to Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, I was just talking earlier with Kimmy. I got to ask you, Tommy.
Yeah, buddy.
I've been listening to you for a long, long time.
I apologize.
Is there any public setting at all, anywhere, where you're out in public, where you feel comfortable and have a good time?
Yeah.
From what I've been hearing from you, I don't think you have a good time anywhere except in your house.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, probably. I like Wegmans. And I like the shoe guy.
I like the shoe guy, he says.
Yeah, puts a nice shine on it.
I mean, Paul, but I kind of assume that was all guys. Like, the older we get, the more we kind of just like being in our own spaces.
No, but there are settings that you enjoy. You like going to Bills games.
I do.
Like, there are certain public places and social interactions that you enjoy, and I really can't come up with any for Tommy.
I can't come up with anything that you sound like you're having fun at. It just doesn't sound. It sounds like you're that guy with a pipe. With a turtleneck in your house, sitting there smoking a pipe, having your scotch, and that to you is the best time ever. And if you have to leave that situation, you are very uncomfortable.
You're not wrong. That does sound kind of nice.
He's breaking you down, man.
And I got that pipe.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you, are you good at small talk?
Yeah, I am. I've got a mouth for gab, definitely.
Mouth for definitely. Gab. I'd like to meet that gab.
Yeah, I can go out and, you know, be comfortable in situations
I hate
like
guys
my
like
wife
you.
Wants.
Yeah. Charlie chuckle ass. We can chuckle ass
go.
Down at the bar.
Paul's bored with us. He's leaving now. Paul, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, man. Have a good life.
He's the guy that gets stuck behind when I vote.
He doesn't need our misery track. It doesn't down.
All right, so talking about small talk, because here's the thing. The easiest thing to do to avoid these situations from now on, you keep getting yourself into, is to just learn how to make small talk.
I'm not a small talk guy.
Look, it does seem hard. It does seem hard.
Like, my wife's great at it. My wife can just talk to people. She's very comfortable. I can't do any of it.
I think all women are good at small talk.
They must be. Like, the hair goes up on my neck, and I've got a lot of it now.
I mean, okay, so people that are good at small talk, it does feel like a waste of time. I'm with you.
Like, salespeople are very good at that kind of thing.
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, all right, so people that are good at small talk, 252-WCMF, and so everyone is along for the ride. Let's define small talk as conversation that does not matter in any way.
Right, it's just chit-chat.
Yeah, you're not interested, you have no reason to have this convo, you're just talking.
But they look interested.
To the folks that are good at it, did you have to learn how to do it? Like, did someone show you how to make small talk? Or are you just either born or not born with the ability to make small talk?
Like, my old man was good at it because he was a salesman.
Mm. Yeah.
Your old man's good at it because he's a cop. He has to interact with people, he's a funny guy.
I just think he was always. I don't think it was a cop. I think he just wants everyone to like him.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, so he's very good at it.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah. No.
My old man's same way. My mother was. She was the same way. You know, because you've later.
I think people that are good at small talk are people that are good at. Asking questions and follow-up questions because it means like they're listening.
But that drives me nuts. Anytime like I'm ready to
but
go.
But that's what keeps the conversation going.
I don't want any follow-ups. No
Why?
Follow-ups.
Well, no. I mean, like you said it yourself. People like hearing their own names when you speak to them.
Yeah.
And they like knowing that you're listening. Kimmy's right.
Yeah.
So I think the key is if you don't enjoy small talk, just keep asking them questions.
Well, no, because now I'm going to go down a rabbit hole, and we have the risk of running.
Yeah.
We're running the risk.
You're going to hit that sinkhole, and you're stuck, man. You're 50 feet under.
Yeah. He's right. I mean, there is nothing worse than it's time to go, and you ask someone a question.
And the social cue ain't picking up.
Well, you'll figure it out pretty quickly how long-winded they are.
252-WCMF, you know, we started this break. You know, you're getting a new couch, very fancy. Mm. You offered us your couch. I don't want your couch. Kimmy doesn't want your couch. But Fred's on CMF. Hey, Fred, how are you, buddy?
How we doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Not much. Tommy, I'm getting divorced. I need your couch.
By the way, you have to take it. You can't sleep there. Are you really getting divorced?
I'll take your couch. I got a means to move it. I got a trailer. I'll come and pick it up from you.
All right. $1,000, it's yours, bro.
Fred, are you getting...
You were giving it away. Come on.
I ain't giving it away, Fred. I got to make a profit here.
Wait a minute. Were you you going to sell me your couch? Was that what you were trying to do?
No, 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 no.
Did you offer me?
Yes, you did.
Do you want my couch and you were going to give me a price if I said yes?
I was going to give you a negotiated good
deal. I've known you 20 years, you dick.
What? There's a tariff. You got to pay. You paid a tariff.
Good luck on your new couch, buddy. Thanks for the call.
And your new life.
Why?
What?
You see, this is what I mean. What? You didn't have to say that part. It was over. It was done.
What?
You open your stupid mouth and this awful falls out. Just shut up. All you got to do is shut up.
Well, I'm not in the shut up business.
Well, no, but see here, that's again, you're always jokey joking. Always think you're on stage. Microphone in front of your face. Check me out. All right, I have a tip.
You ain't got tip crap.
No, I...
But right, there's crap on that tip because I know where it's been.
Yeah, your mom's place.
Did you sodomize my mother?
Oh, damn right I did. She asked for more. We fall out of that
too
chair.
Too far.
He started
too
it.
Too far.
He started
did we not
it.
Just learn from this story?
Too far.
It's okay.
Too
it's
far.
Honest. I wouldn't say that to someone at like 7-Eleven.
Too far.
Standing up for your mom.
From this point on.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
When you're about to say something to a stranger.
Think.
I want you to think this.
Think.
Think this. Ready?
All right.
Should I shut up?
Okay.
And I'm serious.
Well, I should always shut
no,
up.
No, no, no. Before, no, because there are times where you can interact. But before you say something, go, is this something, a time where I should shut
let's
up?
Let's try it out.
All right,
ready?
All right.
Walk into the bank.
All right, hey, welcome to International Bank of...
Shut up! No, I'm talking to myself, sir. Sorry. No, my partner said I should shut up!
Let's take a break. Guess what, Tommy?
What happened?
I got a tip.
All right, tip me.
A way to get free stuff. And the fat cats who own these big businesses, they won't even realize what they're allowing people to do.
Nice.
You in?
I'm in.
Well, guess what? You're under arrest.
Oh.
Because there is a thin line between loophole and illegal. And it's something that this woman may have found out the hard way.
So what'd she do?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. A 43-year-old woman in Greece is in some serious trouble this morning.
What'd she do?
Story on 13 Wham says the woman, and I quote, engaged in a pattern of obtaining merchandise from local retailers, then returning the items for gift cards, store credit, or selling them to third parties. It doesn't say, Tommy, in the story that she stole them.
Mm-hmm.
She's not being charged with burglary or theft.
It's on the return.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or how
we
she obtained
how
them.
She,
we have no idea.
How she got them.
But what she did was illegal because she was convicted of wire fraud for whatever she was doing.
Right.
On Monday, she was sentenced. And they gave her 27 months for her involvement in this fraud scheme. Not only that, she has to pay $16,000 in restitution.
And I'm guessing she ain't got no 16G.
Well, all she just give her a little time with some merchandise and she'll take care of it. So, Kimmy, you saw this story, and it reminded you of some people you may or may not know.
Yeah, I feel like everybody has that one friend that thinks like they found some loophole to
the
these kind of things. Like,
well, it's, no, it's not a scam.
Like
it's a loophole.
Like they're gonna explain why it's not technically stealing, but you're getting something for nothing, essentially.
252-WCMF 252-9263. I believe you are right. I believe.
And I don't know if it's so much what this woman's accused of or did, but it's something along those lines where you're like, they're explaining it to you, and in your mind, you're like, yeah, that doesn't really seem right. Mm.
Legal.
You know?
Legal.
Yeah, seems like you could get in some trouble if you told the wrong person this story.
Look, Kimmy, I'm with you. I think everybody has someone in their circle. And I get that this story, Tommy, is extreme on account of the money we're talking.
Yeah.
But there are people in your life who are absolutely committing crimes thinking they've gamed the system.
But they probably get away with it.
For now.
Right.
Forever.
Well, based on what?
So, I know people that can just return anything. Like, they get their money back.
Okay.
And they know they're lying. Or they're scamming or something.
Like, they broke it, but they're going to tell them
they
that
didn't
it
use
came
it,
broken.
They would never use it, and you used it. Yeah. So I know people that when they throw parties, they go get those high-end party stuff.
Okay.
And then they just return it after the party.
Is that illegal?
But they'll say they never used it.
It's so technically lying. Used.
Is it illegal?
I don't know.
Can I get arrested if they figure out?
Because they'll go, the party got canceled, so what am I going to do? I don't need it. Because it's like stuff you would never buy normally.
Yeah, like an ornate punch bowl.
Yes.
Or, yeah, no, I guess a popcorn machine, something like that. No, I get what you're saying. I guess what I'm asking is, could I get in trouble I mean, not that the kid behind the counter making $15 an hour is going to care, but if they wanted to pursue it, is that something illegal? Because it is a, quote, loophole.
Right.
But it does feel like it's against the law.
It's like a rental center, but you ain't renting.
Yeah, you ain't paying nothing. Yeah.
You opened it, you used it, and you stuffed it back in the package.
People do that stuff all the time.
So there's a guy we know who shared with Kimmy and I how to get free stuff from Amazon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to reveal the scam or should I?
You can reveal.
Yeah, I want to know.
So he found out by accident that if you order something and then cancel the order at a certain time.
Like it's already out for delivery?
It's out for delivery.
So it's timing on your phone then?
Yes, it will still show up. And if you call Amazon sometimes, they'll say, we don't want it back. So he has started to order things and then cancel them en route to get stuff for free.
So as soon as you see out for delivery,
he'll cancel it.
You cancel
it. And it's not worth their time to come back and get it.
Right.
That is 100% against the law. But this,
I would assume at some point you're going to get flagged, but I don't know what that point is because this person seems to have been able to do it for quite some time.
But this person is insisting what they are doing is not illegal, and they found a loophole in the system, and it's 100% illegal.
But, I mean, kind of is and isn't because you are canceling it, and they have the ability to not drop it off, and then if they don't want it, I understand what you're saying, but it's also a little bit on them because they don't want it back because it's not worth their time.
You're buying it under false pretenses. You had no intention of paying for
it. Yes.
That's fraud.
Yeah.
That is fraud.
But you'd never be able to prove that in court.
Well, really? Would you do it 19 times? You just keep canceling orders? I mean.
But I think everybody's ordered something and like they would try to send it back and they don't come and get it. They go keep it.
Sure.
And I think that's where that mentality starts.
Okay. Look, if enough people start to do this with delivery services.
You could ruin America.
You do
I'm saying exactly. Eventually, they're going to have to make an example.
And China wins. And you're not going to get your money back.
Yeah.
So when I was on the road as a kid doing comedy, I had a comic buddy who taught me how to commit fraud to make $30.
Oh.
And looking back on it, what he showed me how to do, what it was is there, you know, with like big box stores like Walmart, Target.
Yeah.
There will always be a difference in price in some like high-end like kitchen appliance.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is like a coffee machine, a deep fryer, something like that. So you could go to one store and spend $120 on this high-end coffee machine.
Yeah.
And then walk into another store and return it for cash without a receipt.
You get the difference.
Yep, $150. So I would make $30. And when I was up against it on the road, I would use this.
Nice.
And it saved me a whole bunch of times. I really hope the statute of limitations are up because without question.
How they going to catch you?
But here's the thing. At the time, I'm like, that's not illegal. Who's getting hurt?
Well, you're getting your product back.
Exactly. Well, one place is making money because I bought it from them. The other place is going to sell it for the price that it was. But it's absolutely fraud. It is absolutely fraud.
Well, it's like light fraud.
But I must have did that 25 times when I was up against it. And I would now be terrified trying it if I needed it that someone was going to be like, wait. And they must have changed the policy by now because if he knew about it.
They either changed the policy or the store went out of business.
Well, I mean, no. These stores are still open. You always had to go with the big box stores.
Yeah.
The best one was like, well, Big Lots is actually going out of business?
Yes.
There was one product you could buy from Big Lots that was like $50, $60 less expensive than another big box store.
Oh.
They would always give me cash for it.
Yeah.
Every single time. And like I would have been able to make a fortune if I had the capital to invest in more than one.
Well, you were a startup. It's very tough.
I mean, I did have a little business going.
Yeah.
And even if you, and I think people will even think they're not doing anything wrong if they do that and get store credit. Well, I'm still spending it at the store. It's like, yeah, but you're still stealing that store credit.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But they are getting the product back to sell, so they're not hurt.
But when I worked
but if they can sell it.
But when I worked in a grocery business, like any time they sent something back, you just didn't question it. Because it was bad business.
Sure.
Don't have the argument at the front counter. Just take it. Let them go. Do it. And people knew that.
Yeah.
You know, and once they picked up on that, it was a free-for-all.
Well, it's still
but
kind
they
of,
still did it.
But it's still kind of that way. You'll see people return fruit that went bad because they've had it for 2 weeks. And they'll just take it and flip it and go get your banana.
We had people cook steaks on grills and bring them back warm, saying it was tough. And they wanted another one. It was the weirdest thing. Like, it was, like, wrapped up in tinfoil.
Wow. What?
And then they would go get a more, like, they would go, well, go get another one. And they would get a bigger steak or a more expensive steak, and you just go ahead.
Yeah, I get it. Well, but again, like.
They knew what they were doing.
Well, I think the flaw in the system for these businesses is, if that's a mom and pop shop, if that guy.
It kills them.
Let's say it's a meat market.
Yeah.
That owner is going to argue that.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand why you would do it. But when you put the responsibility of exchanges like this in someone that you're paying right. minimum wage, I don't care.
And you don't want the issue on the front end in front of customers.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't need an argument.
252 WCMF, 43-year-old woman in Greece was sentenced to 27 months in prison as part of a fraud scheme.
Damn it, she needs a new lawyer.
Story on 13 Wham says she engaged in a pattern of obtaining merchandise from local retailers, then returning the items for gift cards, store credit, or selling them to third parties. It doesn't say she stole them.
No.
Right? She was convicted of fraud, wire okay. fraud, and Kimmy, this sounds like to Kimmy, like people she knows.
To some extent. Yeah.
It's a loophole.
Yeah. I mean, my parents were always doing stuff. Grabbing things, returning stuff.
Well, that's straight up theft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stealing knives stealing from Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
How close do you have to be to someone where you pull them aside and, like, warn them, like, hey, maybe this can actually
get
you
in trouble? I ain't doing it, man.
Never?
No. I'm not getting involved.
Yeah.
Have at it. I mean, if you're going to be that tight or chintz, knock yourself out.
No, let's say, I mean, we've known each other for a long time. I got two kids. I got my wife, right?
Hmm?
If I'm doing something that you know is going to get me in trouble, and I'm describing it to you like a genius idea, you're not telling me this is illegal?
I mean, maybe you, but it's about being about it.
Not Kimmy? You let her go to jail?
No, Kimmy too.
Oh, shut up, you bitch.
No, but that'd be about it. But like, let's say down the hall.
Yeah.
I'm not getting involved.
Well, I want to see what happens.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, back off. Because, like, you know, maybe they pull it off.
And I get a better parking spot.
Kimmy.
Yeah.
Is there someone you're close enough where you would tell them, I think this is illegal, you should stop it?
I don't think so.
No,
I just because I think it's a losing
spineless.
Battle. It's a losing battle.
Yeah.
And like if they say, well, no, you're wrong. Like, where do we go from here?
Right.
Now I just accused you of being a thief.
Well, like, you didn't accuse. They are being a thief.
Right.
They are committing
but
crimes.
But I think you have to accept that that could, you know, end the relationship.
Are
with
you
that
overstepping?
Person.
You can't, once you start
and
overstepping.
You especially can't say it if you've enjoyed that thing at
oh,
their house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you went to that party yeah. and they're returning that punch bowl, yeah.
I will say, like, I think we all have stupid people in our lives. And when I say stupid, relative, right? Like, mm-hmm. stupid in certain areas.
Yeah.
Where you could see them doing something like this and go, it makes sense why they would think this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. What blows my mind are the spouses of those people that know what they're doing and don't say anything. Because going back to that Amazon scheme with that
yeah.
person we know.
Yeah.
That person has a smart spouse.
Yeah.
And I would have thought that spouse would have stepped up and been like, hey, stupid, stop this.
Yeah, but she's enjoying it too.
Could be a losing battle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know, we were being gender neutral until right there.
Oh.
You are so bad at this. You are so bad at this.
No, it could be anybody.
How are you so? You're Sicilian. How do you not know how to keep your mouth shut?
Yeah, I have a Dutch. There's no Dutch mafia, bro. They hear him coming with the wooden shoe.
He sleeps with the fish. Oh, he's floating again. Look at that. Shoes are made of wood. We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF, the Break Room Facebook page. Derek writes us, my dumbass brother-in-law convinced my sister that switching price tags on stuff in the store, as Kimmy said, is a loophole. It's theft, and they're going to get caught one day.
Where they put, like, the sales sticker on there or something.
You can't really justify switching price tags.
Yeah.
That's theft.
That's a dangerous game you're playing.
But you have to be really good at, like, putting it on there without looking like it wasn't tampered.
And then they're not going to see you on the security camera
doing
it.
Yeah, you could do it back in the day when everything was labeled before, like, UPC labels and stuff, yeah.
Okay, Derek, if you're Derek's brother-in-law listening, we see police blotter stories of people arrested for that all the time.
Yes.
That's not a loophole.
Yeah.
That's a straight-up crime, bro.
Yeah.
That is a straight-up crime.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports leagues, NFL, NBA, NHL,
yeah.
Major League Baseball, they're always improving their game,
watching
things, learning, then deciding we can make it better this way.
Yeah, make adjustments.
It's a good thing.
Yes.
I'm just really sick of this always happening at the expense of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, what happened now?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF, you know, as part of the Super Bowl week, the commissioner gets out in front of everybody, answers questions, talks about the state of the league.
Okay.
And one of those issues on the docket this year, the NFL is reportedly looking into now measuring first downs electronically.
I thought they kind of did.
Nope, they use the chain system.
Yeah, it's still where they place the ball.
But I always thought like it was still, all right, so.
No, so the way it works.
So they have the technology to do this.
Yes, they do.
Jesus Christ.
So the way that it works now is you have a guy on the side of the field who thinks he sees where the ball is. He then puts his foot down and walks out towards the ball. That's where the spot of the ball
is. Where the ball shall be.
And you get you measure it with two other guys holding two sticks with 10-yard chains.
Right.
Right. There is a chip in the ball currently, a computer chip.
Yeah.
The NFL says that computer chip technology is not good enough to measure for first downs. But it's the NFL. They're a billion-dollar franchise. NHL pucks have chips in them. Major League Baseball sometimes have chips in them. They have the ability to measure this stuff and do it. And it looks like as soon as next year, we could be getting electronically measured, automatic, no instantly first downs. You know why they're looking into this?
Because of the debacle with the Bills.
4th-and-1 AFC Championship game play. It's been an issue for years, but all of a sudden after it happened in that game, now they're going to look into it.
Well, 60 million people saw it.
Thanks for the help, guys.
Seems to be a pattern happening here.
Well, yeah, that's just it. This wouldn't be the first time the NFL changed a rule on account of the Bills getting effed because the new overtime rules exist solely after the 13-second regular or, game.
Yeah.
Josh Allen didn't touch the ball in overtime, and the Bills lost, so they changed the rule. So this will now be the second time in 5 years the NFL decided we're going to do stuff different because it really hurt Buffalo.
Against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
On top of that.
So thanks, guys.
At least you're changing the face of the league.
Yeah, it's going to be better for everybody else afterwards. Like, I'm really looking forward to next year. What rule is going to change after the Bills get F there?
I'm also terrified that any of these rule changes at some point actually hurt the Bills instead of help
could
them.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
I when that overtime rule was changed, I'm like, watch the Bills be like the victims of their own rule change.
I mean, look,
next season.
You're right. We all have deep-seated PTSD, Bills traumatic stress disorder. Yes. So yeah, we think that way. It is strange.
What's that?
That they haven't moved to this technology sooner.
Yeah, I mean, they have it.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, like you said, other sports use it.
Yeah, I think part of it's the entertainment factor.
Right, of not knowing. It's the buildup. And it's the reviews, and it's the speculation.
I mean, look, if you know instantly if the ball crosses, you lose, the spot's there. There's that 7 seconds of the chain coming down, the 5 seconds of them pulling the chain out, and you're waiting to see where that chain's going to stop. And it's that short.
But also,
ooh,
very dramatic.
But also moves the game along.
But I don't know if the NFL wants to move the game along, because in those moments, you are on the edge of your seat.
Some people are. Some people just don't care. I mean, you know, just... get the game going. There's somebody who starts and stops this game to begin with.
Yeah, but I mean, I maybe it's me getting older. NFL games have started to move so fast for me. It used to feel like
moving faster because you're going to die soon.
Okay.
It's funny when you say it to me.
But you are actually going to die soon. You, and everyone's hoping.
I don't know if you're saying that as a joke.
Yeah, keep pulling on that gray hair. I see it.
No, I'll be honest with you.
What?
I kind of want him to
I hate it. Like, all those, like, the chain. Here comes the chain. We got to make a timeout. Oh, he's calling a timeout.
I love the chain. I hate the review. The reviews
timeouts
take away from
suck.
Timeouts suck.
Yes.
What does that even
like,
mean?
When they get down to the end, he called a timeout. Ice the kicker.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It builds the anticipation.
Just kick the goddamn ball. Can we be done with this?
Oh, my God. Why do you even watch football?
I hate football.
But
let's move it along, boys.
I know you do. I'm saying, why do you watch it?
I only watch one game.
I know.
I give my money to the Buffalo Bills.
You don't have to watch it at all. No one's going to fault you.
I like the Bills.
Your picks will still be the same whether you watch the games or not. 252 WCMF reports that the NFL will be looking into measuring first downs electronically with a chip in the ball starting next season. It seems that the technology already exists. In fact, I believe it was the Las Vegas Raiders have been using this technology during games.
Well, that's Vegas, baby.
But without using it like in an official capacity. That was a report
So it does work.
Yes. Well,
because they're saying it's not... They think the technology is questionable, the way the NFL is putting it.
But that could be a problem, too, because you've never used it before.
Either.
Yes, let's say that there is a failure of the technology.
Because then what challenge is that?
Exactly. Right? So now you got to go back to the old way. I mean, if they use the chip, are they still going to have the first down chains to know where you are in case maybe the system fails? What if the system has them come up short or gives them a first down where they shouldn't, and that's the one you're going to go with? I mean, there are a lot of questions here, and I do love the pageantry of marching out the chains. There is pageantry
Release
to
the
it.
Chains.
I'm telling you, man, every time I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, but you're a deep fan.
Yes! Yes!
No, I mean, but that's exciting even if you're not a fan of the team you're watching. It's the whole moment leading up to
it's pageantry.
It is pageantry. It's by design.
The marching of the chains.
It's by design.
But, like, but if you're still doing it the same way you did it in front of Vince Lombardi, maybe you ought to change this.
Okay, look, I'll listen to that argument. I'm just saying, like, if they do go to the chip, it's probably...
Make sure it's perfect.
And it's probably better. I'm going to miss the march of the chains. Well, yeah. I mean, look, there was an... There was an argument made for years that what made baseball so good with, you know, human referees or human umpires was, you know, the fact that they can make mistakes. It changes things. It made the game less predictable.
Yeah.
The Red Wings over at Innovative Field this year had a couple of games where they used the computer umpire. Did you see any of them?
I did not.
I mean, it makes the game go quick. If the umpire gets the call wrong, it immediately tells you if it was a ball or a strike.
Oh, all right.
It was remarkable. But it did take a little bit of the romance out of the game for me.
Right. Okay. As some umpires screaming strike.
Yeah. And then it was really...
Well, it also highlights how often their mistakes are made.
Well, that's just
which may not be great.
Well, because I forget the rule, but I think you had like one or two challenges a game and the batter has to challenge it right away.
Yeah.
The game I was at, it was Father's Day last year. They missed on like six strikes. Ooh.
So there's no umpire?
The umpire is behind the plate.
They make the initial call.
The and then if the batter thinks they're wrong, they can challenge it. It immediately, like it happens within 5 seconds.
Oh.
But, like, you get one unless you get it right, and then you keep going. I think that's the rule, whatever it is. But in this game I was at, the ump was so bad, there were
really?
Six challenges.
Well, that kind of tells you.
And they all kept going.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know.
Who knew the fat, out-of-shape guy squatting down wasn't getting it right?
Make some dynamite salsa, though.
Oh, the best major league I hear.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.